Ms. Abiola, welcome to the German Dream Project.
Thank you for including my voice in your project.
Ms. Abiola, how important do you think collective societal dreams are to the health and the success of a country?
I believe they're critical. My own first knowledge of a societal dream is the American dream. I think you can see how it has inspired its people over the centuries to rise above their own petty thinking or their own differences and to become bigger than anything they could have ever been by themselves. And when I look at my own country, Nigeria, or countries across Africa, I feel very strongly that even though we have very clear challenges of economic development, you know, literacy, social development, diseases, health issues, I think that at the core, the biggest challenge that we have is the lack of collective dream, and in a way, in a sense, the lack of belief in ourselves that would inspire such a dream. And without that, all the other challenges are really insurmountable.
In your acceptance speech for a Global Peace Award in 2001, you said, I quote, "We intend to make this world the most beautiful, glorious planet that any human being can imagine, and really beyond anything any human being can imagine," end of quote. Where do you source such hope and such optimism?
I have it, and it's reinforced and reaffirmed when I walk on the street and I see people, or if I notice the blueness of the sky, or the way mother carries her child, or when I see, you know, the stories of human resilience and the ways in which people that you think have done so much wrong can be the most inspiring in when they redeem themselves. You just see it in life. It's what life is. It gives you that belief that if we just believe in ourselves, we can really produce the kind of world that we want. If we don't allow ourselves to become disillusioned, I think we in our hearts, we know what is possible.
In Nigeria, the most populated country in Africa with almost 130 million people, the average life expectancy is only around 46 years. And despite your country's wealth in minerals and oil, most people remain terribly poor. So how do you interest people in a dream about democracy when they are so desperate and mostly occupied with the fight for their daily survival?
You see, every day Nigerians wake up and they try to meet the problems of that day. But when we're inspired by a dream for a new Nigeria, a Nigeria where we have food to eat, where there's not crime on our streets, where our children can go to school and find jobs when they graduate, when we have this dream, we can begin to build a nation that addresses all those problems. But without that dream, we can run in time. We'll be doing a lot of work, but achieving very little results. You know, in a sense, Einstein said it best when he said that the same mind that creates a problem is not the mind that will find its solution. And trying to inspire people to sink deeper into our mind, to find our deepest knowing, our deepest truth, so that the people we were that created a problem become transformed into people that can come up with solutions that are transformative and sustainable.
In the 90s, you lost both of your parents in their struggle to bring the dream of democracy to Nigeria. And in honor of your mother, Kudirat, you founded the Kudirat Initiative for Democracy, an organization dedicated to empowering women and youth and fostering democracy in Africa. After losing so much dear to you early in your life, what gave you the courage to dream, again, such a big dream?
Each human being is unique, but we also are part of and a lineage of ancestors and a lineage of descendants that are still waiting to come. Each person carries dreams within them, which is not just their dream, it's the collective dream of human race. And their own life must be about advancing that dream as much as it's possible. And when we are born into this world, we also come with our own individual dreams that we must fulfill in spite of our fears. And yes, I did lose both my parents in very tragic circumstances. You know, in about 2 months, I'm getting married. And in our culture, my mom should be preparing that whole event for me. My father should be the one that gives me away. And all of that is absent now. And when I feel all the things that are absent, sometimes I do feel that we lost a great deal. But you see, I was also there when my parents were taking the decisions that they took that ultimately brought them into direct conflict with the military and cost them their lives in Nigeria. And I know that my parents were the most alive when they said yes to their dreams, even though the dreams cost them their lives. And if they had not said yes, the parents that I would have had, they would not have been able to bequeath to me any stronger a legacy than what they were able to do in the short time that they were able to live on this earth. I know now that whenever I'm confronted by the fear of saying yes to my dream, I should see the fear, I should acknowledge the fear, and I should still say yes, because all the rewards, the joy in your heart, the purpose in your life, all of that only comes from that yes. And my parents gave me that gift, which is a gift beyond any other gift. It's a gift that money can never buy, and their presence could not even have gotten for me if they were not so faithful to their dreams.
Ms. Abiola, with all that you might have heard, learned, or experienced about Germany, what is your most unconservative, most idealistic dream for Germany's future? How would you describe a possible new German dream?
You know, in a way, I feel that Germany is beginning to take the tiny steps to seeing its dream and upholding its dream. After the September 11, 2001 terrorism attack on the United States, Germany and France led the world that was concerned to say that, look, let us look for another way, because it's the response of a country that, in a sense, is listening to its own heart and has the courage to say, but this is not in alignment with our own values and our own dream. And from those kinds of decisions that Germany took then, the decisions that's been taken within the European Union to bring the Union together, you don't even have to realize that your dream has been born. But when it arrives, you'll know it. And even though the German dream has not been articulated in the very powerful, clear, cogent way that you would like, perhaps, it still has its integrity. And what I like about it is that it has a certain humility. And I think humility is what's needed now from all of us all over the world. The awareness that even while our dreams are so beautiful, they can also be dangerous and we have to be cautious. When I watch the gentle, calm, and almost hesitant way that Germany has been born into its dream, I feel comfortable as a member of the global community. And I also feel that we just have to keep affirming that Germany has a right, its people have a right to have a social dream, and that the small steps they're taking now is an inspiration to much of the world. These kinds of encouraging words will encourage them to give birth to the fullness of their dream. Whatever Germany's dream, I think it needs to be grounded in very clear values and principles of peace and justice, and also in the beauty of the world.
Even though Germany ranks amongst the elite countries of the world in lifestyle, wealth, and personal income, many Germans at this point are not very hopeful for their future. What would you say to the people of Germany who are losing hope in the fact that Germany's future can be better than it is today?
They must look to their hearts. You see, my own sense, when I see the efforts Germany has been making to be a new kind of nation, to be a nation that so clearly expresses that it has learned its lessons from its past and that it wants to be a certain kind of beacon in the world, I think that where the Germans might lose their way is in assuming that this is a completely internal project to Germany. And the way they look at their situation is very fascinating. You see, when you have a lot of abundance, let's say you have 80% of what you need in the world to be happy, such people are so funny, because then all they realize is the 20% that is missing. But, you know, in the country I come from, you know, people wake up and they have less than 80 euro cents to eat every day. And they have possibly 20% of what they need to live. But such people in Nigeria wake up in the morning and they're fully grateful and aware of their 20%. But Germans that have maybe 80% and much of Europe and even the United States, they cannot accept what they have. They can only think of what they don't have. And when you are in the place of what you do not have, you can never be happy. You can never be optimistic. You can never look to the future. So it's another reason why Germany needs to be looking outside to the places where there is much more lacking. Because oftentimes when you see the situation of your neighbor is when you realize your own wealth. I know what happened in the past, and I know why the Germans are hesitant to be more engaged on a global level, but I actually think that for their own spiritual well-being, for their own health, they need to be more engaged. They need to be looking out so that they can see how people with 20%, why they are smiling. And when they learn that those people's secrets, even they will smile and they'll be optimistic about Germany's position in the world and what it can bring to the world. Because as they look at the people that have so little, they'll be realizing how much they can give. And when you realize how much you can give, you realize how much you have.
Let's assume Germany would look more beyond its borders than it already does in certain areas. What practical areas would you like to see Germany lead in?
I know Germany gives a lot of aid. For us in Africa, one of the things that we would value is not so much aid and donations as much as opportunities to trade. And we're often told how the things that we have, maybe our bananas, may not have the quality or meet the standards that have been set. And so I would ask the Germans to interact with us as they would interact within their own family. When you have an older brother and a younger brother, we would need partners, we need friends to help build our capacity to meet this standard so that we can trade. Because as we trade, we have also things to offer. We want also a reciprocal relationship that honors our own dignity and it honors the dignity of the German people. It doesn't create an exploitative scenario. And this is somewhere that it is a place where the Germans can lead within Europe and also internationally within the WTO to speak about equity issues, justice issues, fairness issues. They can be our voice in this way to use their influence to push an agenda for the world's vulnerable people.
You are on the advisory board of many organizations that are advocating the education of girls, and many studies show that educating girls is the most effective way to transform a society. Your own organization, KIND, is involved in many projects for training girls for leadership positions in Nigeria. How do you think Germany's dream for a better future can benefit from focusing more on empowering girls and young women in our country?
What we need is to be able to empower our young women and our women, our young girls, to unlearn whatever lessons is in our social history that does not empower us, to learn new lessons from all over the world and from your own roots in Germany that may have been forgotten. When we say we want women leaders, it's not because we want women that are like men. We want women to bring something new to the table, enough of the competition and more energy towards collaboration and consensus, enough of the rivalry and war and more of peace. That's what we want women to do. So even though, yeah, your women are educated now formally, there's still work to be done to help the women understand that they have to play a key role in the way that women already give birth to children. We now want women to begin to understand how psychologically they can help give birth to a new world and how they can work with men in our society to do this.
Ms. Abiola, in closing, you're only 30 years old and you have accomplished and inspired so much for your family, your country, and young people around the world. May we ask, what are you dreaming of now for your future?
As I told you, I'm getting married. I'm actually marrying a European guy who I think is the most special person in the whole world. So what I'm dreaming about right now is to get pregnant during the honeymoon. And you see, my people, the Yoruba people that I come from, They have the highest number of twins in the whole world. And so I've told my fiancé that my goal is to get pregnant and have twins. And my other goal is to continue to open up to the beauty in the world and also to make myself available to serve, you know, in whatever way I can to help birth the new world that we need. I think we need to birth this new world in our personal lives, in the way that we love the family and friends, and also in our public lives, in the way that we move beyond our prejudices to shake hands across borders and to give hugs and kisses across borders you know, and to begin to heal the injuries in our world and birth a new world.
Ms. Abiola, we wish you good luck with your dreams, and thank you so much for dreaming with us in Germany.
Good luck with everything you do in Germany, and you have my love, affirmation, and support.